Back with you here. We're talking about the history of Maryland horse racing, a new documentary which will debut tomorrow night at the Senator Theater and then air on MPT at 9 o'clock on Friday. It's called Racing Time, and there will be DVD sales down the road as well. Is there a website people can go to? Gentlemen, we're talking to Drew Perkins and Nick Carter. Is there a place where people can find all this information?
Yeah, there is. It's hopefully going to be up tomorrow night, but if they bear with us, it may be a couple of days. It's going to be called racingthetimes.com. That's our website. You can go to there. We're going to have a little few shorts so people can get a glimpse of what the movie's all about, and then they can be prompted to buy a DVD.
That sounds good. And, you know, putting this kind of production together, when you're talking about public television, you guys have to raise the money yourselves to make this happen, right? I mean, that is a part of the process. And, and Drew, you have a really big resume, History Channel, Discovery Channel. You've done a lot of things that people are familiar with. But the grind of this must be even all the more rewarding when you get to the finish line, as the case may be here.
It certainly is. You know, when you make documentary films like I do and when Nick, we do, you know, you raise a little bit of money, you go out, you film a little bit, do some interviews, put it together, let people look at it, raise a little bit more money. Now, I will say with this project, because it is such a rich, rich heritage in Maryland that you know, as we started it, it had kind of a grassroots, and more people kind of rallied behind it and realized that, you know, it's an important story, and there is no definitive book, there is no definitive movie that's ever been made. So when people started realizing that and they knew that we were trying to do it right and tried to be first class with it, a lot of people jumped on board, which was great.
I want to ask you both about your personal backgrounds in filmmaking coming up a little later, but let's go through some seminal moments in the history of Maryland racing that will be covered in this movie. We talked about the beginning of Pimlico and the Preakness, but other than that, in maybe the pre-modern era, and we'll get to that coming up, but what stands out? Is it Seabiscuit in a match race here, which anyone who's read the book, the wonderful book, or seen the great film, to me, that moment, I mean, it's a seminal moment in American history.
Well, it was, you know, it to that point, the greatest sporting event in the history of America, Seabiscuit versus War Admiral. War Admiral was a horse that was in Maryland, and in Berlin, Maryland, on Glen Riddle Farm. And Seabiscuit, well, everybody knows Seabiscuit. So it in the film, it's probably one of my favorite moments in the film because we were fortunate enough to interview a gentleman, Mr. Jello Hall, whose father worked at Pimlico. And so he was a young 10, 11-year-old boy who was actually at the race. And
amazing.
And it's in his brain, that race is always etched in his mind. And after we interviewed him, Nick, we looked at each other and said, you know, we're not going to narrate this. We're just going to let Jello Hall tell the story. And it was a big moment as a young boy in his life, and it's very moving. And it obviously was the greatest it was the greatest sporting event at that time. And as the story goes, and if you watch the film, you'll see it, that it was FDR, it was 1938. He closed a cabinet meeting in the White House, went rallied around, they sat around on the radio and listened to the race, because that was right when radio was taking off.
They say it may have been one of the most listened to radio events in American history that day. So people, even then, were focusing on Baltimore for a horse race. So even all these years later, not much has changed. Nick, what was your favorite moment in the history of Maryland racing that you covered?
Actually, I liked telling the story of the trophy, the Woodlawn Vase.
Is the story of the Woodlawn Vase? I don't know that.
Well, Drew probably tell it better than me with the dates, but it was actually it was buried at one point of its life. What was the date, Drew?
Well, it was buried in the Civil War. It was actually a trophy that
it predates the Preakness itself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, it was part of Kentucky. It was a part of a race in Kentucky.
It was buried for some time and then resurrected, should we say, and became the I think it was a challenge trophy or some sort.
Right, it was a challenge trophy. So it went from one, whoever won one race, he got to take it home, and in whatever race you chose to do it. It is the most expensive trophy in sports today. I think NBC probably, I think they insure it for $4 or $5 million every year. It's Tiffany's made it. Yeah. So imagine Tiffany's made it. It's Tiffany. It's incredible amounts of handicraft for silver. And it was made in Kentucky for a challenge race. But then the Civil War broke out, and the winner of it buried it with his family silver underground during the Civil War, afraid that either the North or the South, you know, soldiers would come get it and melt it down and use the silver for whatever. dug back up, and then eventually in like 1917 or so, it made its way to Maryland. And now it's, you know, the coveted trophy for one of the most coveted trophies in horse racing in the world.
So even more so anything they have at Belmont or at the Derby in Louisville. This is
right. Well,
beyond
it's
that.
It's beyond that. It's certainly worth more, and it's because it's history, like, you know, like the history of Maryland horse racing. It has its own little history. I mean, hell, there's a film just over the Woodland Voss. You can make that. It's
that's incredible.
Story.
But not only just the history. Our movie also goes into, you know, the current times. So our viewers are going to get to see like a day in the life of a trainer, day in the life of a jockey, which I think is really great because people don't get to see that. So, you know, we got to follow a local jockey, Sheldon Russell, around, a local trainer, Holly Robinson, and I think people are really going to enjoy seeing the hard work and the passion that these people have got for their sport, right, for their industry. You know, it's not all glamour, and it's a lot of hard work.
There's only a few Bob Bafferts out there.
Exactly.
And I mean a few.
Yeah.
When the question is raised about the future of the Preakness Stakes and Pimlico Racecourse, after all the hard work you guys have put in on predominantly these two subject matters, what do you think? If people say the Preakness may not be in Baltimore anymore.
Well, you know,
I'm not saying that you think that.
I mean, I'll offer the non-real horse guy theory, and I know you just talked to our friend Sal. But, you know, it's the horse racing in Maryland is 300 years old. It has survived a Revolutionary War. It has survived a Civil War. It has survived a Great Depression. It has survived urban sprawl. I mean, it has weathered the storm. It has, quote, raced the times. So I cannot imagine that there would ever be a state of Maryland without horse racing in it. And I can't imagine that any of the people of Maryland would ever let the Preakness go away.
Would you agree that if it's moved to Laurel Park permanently, that is not the same as Pimlico Racecourse? I understand it for a year or two if there was refurbishing or knockdown or rebuild, or we're building a new track in Baltimore. But to me, if it's in Laurel Park, that still feels very far away from me.
I mean, Nick may not agree with me. Pimlico's a special place in Maryland. It's been a long time, and it would be very hard to think that Pimlico is not a part of the Preakness, in my mind.
I agree. I'm a practical person. You could sell me on a new track somewhere else in Baltimore, but if it's in Laurel Park, to me, I do not associate that with Baltimore. It's Maryland. It is, obviously, inside our state lines, but I think the D.C. folks probably associate more with that than we would, and that feels very far away to me.
Well, I mean, Saturday, the entire world's eyes, the Preakness, will be on Baltimore. They'll be looking at this because people all over the – horse racing is universal, any language. So the entire world will be looking at Baltimore. You're right. I agree with you. I think that the Preakness is so closely associated with Baltimore that being anywhere else would be inappropriate. That's the way I feel.
The People's Party, it's a Baltimore thing, and both of you are transplants. That's what I love about this. You guys are so enthusiastic about this, and you're not even born and raised here, but you've adopted Maryland. To me, that's the most authentically Baltimore awesome thing ever. And Drew, we asked Nick about where he was from. It's a little more obvious, I guess, with his accent, but I think if you listen closely, we know you're not from South Baltimore.
No. I'm actually a native of East Texas, so I still have my twang, even though I've been on the East Coast since 1980. Yeah, you know, I take great pride. I fell in love with a Baltimore woman, so that's why I'm here. But
That does it a lot.
But you know, I take great pride that I've been here 20 years now, and I really, I mean, I feel that the passion and the horse racing. So, yes, Nick's from England, I'm from Texas, and we're telling the greatest story in Maryland's history. It's great.
That's a beautiful thing. We'll come back. We'll do one more segment with Nick Carter and Drew Perkins. The film is called Racing Times, debuting at the Center Theater tomorrow and debuting on television on Friday night on MPT at 9 p.m.